Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Again, Mr. from the context of the plan. I have permission to vote. I appreciate the man. And welcome to another edition of Candyviews. As always, I am your host, Glenn Keel. I am also co-founder and director and chapter coordinator of Creative Care Beacon, and we are the Ohio chapter of the Human Solution International. A little bit about that really quick. The Human Solution International is a 501c3 grassroots organization that violates the end abuse and violation of human rights. Human rights being cannabis cases. So we do support cannabis cases. So if you or a loved one are going through a case that is a human rights violation, please definitely reach out to the Human Solution over at www.thfintl.org. There is a sign up there for you or a loved one to defend it for them, and that's the way you reach out. Honestly, because we don't know if you're going through something unless you reach out, unless you contact us. So definitely go over to www.thfintl.org and fill out your form there. Tonight we're going to be talking with Trisha Mullins, and Adela Wisdom. We're going to catch up with Adela about her case and the ongoing travesty that's going on in Missouri with still arresting people. So we'll catch up with her and talk with her about her and her husband's case, and how long the ridiculousness has been going on with them. We're going to catch up with Trisha also about her company. She is the CEO of a couple of them and a director, and we're going to find out more about her and her company and her activism. We're going to find out about both of them and where they stand and what it means to them. Really quick, the show is also sponsored and brought to you by www.theholisticcloud.com. If you are in the Northeast Ohio area, definitely go to Bel Air, go down to 3048 Belmont Street, and definitely check them out. Billy Smith Jr. is an amazing Ohio trailblazer. We're going to try to catch up with him next week or the week after, because they did have a great week at the polls. Several of their cities did make it through their ballot, and they are now no jail, no time, no fine. We'll catch up with him later in this season and find out more about that and what they do. So again, if you are in the Bel Air, Ohio area, definitely go down and check them out. And if you're not, go to www.theholisticcloud.com for all of your holistic needs. Also, the Patriot Hemp, Medical Hemp, who is medical hemp company that is a veteran-owned and tested, proven, so you can see on Facebook. Definitely go over and support him. He is a great guy that Mr. Piper is honest about his product, and he's really tried and true about it. Something that I cover every week of every show because it's very important, public awareness, and that's something we're going to cover and talk about with Adele also. How important is it? It's very, man, Peggy and I went through a 3-year ordeal being accused of drug dealers and what have you. But we went through our case, you know, facing just what everybody else faces, you know, the travesty of being a medical patient and being charged with possession and use of cannabis. So the pictures and the letters and stuff that we got and we received are huge, and Terry Cannon headed that up tremendously along with the Human Solution International. Something, if you are on Facebook watching, and if you're not on Facebook listening to me on radio, please definitely jump over on Facebook. We'd like you to just jot up a quick sign, man. It takes just a quick second. Drop all charges against Adele and Aaron Wisdom. Nobody should go to jail for a plant. And somebody that is serving jail time, pop a picture for him, too. We definitely free Lance Gore, Tracy Gore Pike, his mother, and Carrie Cannon. You can reach out to either one of them for pictures, and they'll get it to the collage. It gets sent every month. They send a collage of new pictures and new letters piled with the others that goes to the White House and asking for clemency and asking for Lance to be released. So first up, we're going to catch up with Adela real quick because, man, what she is going through is horror. It's a harsh thing that she's going through. Adela, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me good?
Yep. You are loud and clear. We can hear you and see you. So, listen, man, you guys were raided twice.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you were raided only because it was a political motivated thing. You know, they knew who you were and what you stood for. So they came after you guys, and that was just point blank bottom line. So go from there and tell us about it.
Well, the case is still ongoing. We're still currently fighting the case. We have to go to court on Monday. So I have to be kind of cautious about some of the stuff that I say. But we were raided in the first time on Constitution Day in 2019. And then we were raided again in June of 2020. So on the first raid, there was no evidence seized. But on the second raid, allegedly, there was approximately 22 plants, 2-foot-tall, non-flowering plants. And so we're facing manufacturing charges, not cultivation. So manufacturing of a controlled substance, more commonly known to people is like a meth lab. But that's not, you know, what we did, but we're facing those exact same charges for something that just grows wild and naturally here in Missouri, so much so that the Missouri state created a statute that law enforcement is not supposed to enter your property, that the county commissioner's office is supposed to send you a letter to destroy these plants. Because you see, Missouri was the largest producer of industrialized hemp during the Civil War and during the World War II, especially for the Navy. So the farmers grew this crop, and so it still is everywhere around here. And so they didn't have a punitive approach. They created this statute, which the county commissioner is who should be enforcing it. And for somebody like where I live in a really rural area, we are an uncharted area. So the county commissioner should have been involved in this, which means that there was a non-punitive approach to whatever problem they thought was going on our property. So you see, we're not charged with possession. We're not charged with sale. We're not charged with any of that because there was no drugs. There was no guns. There was no marijuana seized. I hope people understand. There was no pot seized in our raid. There was
right.
No marijuana seized. There was no... Nothing indicative of sales. There was nobody who complained. There was none of that. It was simply the use of the National Guard, the Mustang Drug Task Force, which is a dual-funded and dual-deputized drug task force, the local sheriff's department. This is costing taxpayers a lot of money. At the time
yeah.
of the raid, there were 6,000 untested rape kits in the state of Missouri. And they've done some sneaky things, obviously, but one of the most important things that they just did recently was instead of allowing us to go to a preliminary hearing, which would have given us the opportunity to say, where's your evidence, to see that there's a case, they sent it to a grand jury. And if people don't know about a grand jury, because they should, in a grand jury, we didn't even know what happened. Our attorneys aren't present.
Yeah.
The only people there is the prosecutor, the judge, and the grand jury.
Right.
So,
and, you know, listen, let me tell you who the grand jury is. They're a handpicked bunch of people that most generally have some kind of tie to the community, business owners, and they're usually people that donate to the and most prosecutors are Republicans. I mean, it's just the way it
they're
is.
Elected
they're elected officials.
In a lot of in Missouri, you actually register to sit on the grand jury. So I really encourage everybody to go onto their website and register.
Uh-oh.
I just got a summons for a grand jury attendance, but because I have an ongoing case, I doubt they'll even pick me.
Right.
But
your husband was too. Your husband just got paperwork to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's we were both called for local jury duty, and I was not picked, but I sat up there, and it was actually our judge that was going to be our jury trial judge. So that's not our judge anymore. But I just got the summons for federal, and he just got a state jury trial summons questionnaire as well.
Right. And
which we love and are really happy about doing our civil duty and our civil responsibility, which is one of the reasons we don't want to take a plea deal. And we don't want to be felons because we vote, we sit on jury duty, and we run for office.
Right. You know, and something that, you know, definitely they are appointed, they're voted in. They're appointed officials. They're voted on. People
elected,
vote on them.
Yeah.
They're elected. They're at the polls. So you've got to be very careful about who you vote for. And again, that just goes to show that you've got to research and look at, you know, because – you know, and God's honest truth, and they'll tell you that grand jury can indict a peanut just for being a peanut. I mean, it's very easy to be found that because they hear none of your side, they hear no evidence, they hear nothing. All they hear, and see, here's what something that's twisted, and I covered a little bit last week. We have to, as defendants, we have to follow strict the law, the way it is written, the way it is. But the prosecutor is allowed to work within that law any way he wants. He can twist that law any way, absolute. He can lie. He can anything he wants along that line, that particular line, the words that are in that line of charge, what they're charging you with. They can twist that any way you want. But when it comes down to it, you, as the defendant, have to stick word by word for that law. And there is no twisting of it. There is no – you literally cannot defend yourself when it comes to a grand jury. There is
no, because you don't – it's silent. You don't even know what's happening. And not to mention the price tag. The price tag to convene a grand jury, I mean, we're talking $40,000, $50,000 in some cases.
Yeah.
$250 for an untested rape kit, and we have 6,000, but we had enough money to send our case to a grand jury for plants.
Right.
Well, you know, like, they let people out in Callaway County. We sit in the jail or in the courts, and we watch what they're doing. They let people out who violate for sexual registration. They slap them on the wrist and say, oh, we'll sentence you to 7 years, but they wait the 7 years, and they're just on probation. They're offering us the same deal that they're offering a sex offender or somebody who is caught with 1,000 pounds of methamphetamine. It's absolutely ridiculous. They've refused to put us out on a summons because they said it was a violent or because of the severity of the case.
Right.
Non-violent, low-level, victimless crime.
Right. Well, that just goes and shows that, you know, our justice system is broken. When you can have two of the same, a person for a plant for nature and somebody that violated a child on the same scale as balance, that should not happen. The travesty of our justice system is broken, and that just shows you how broken our justice system is. Adela, what more can people do to help you? What more can people do? To reach out for your case and to help you along with your case?
You know, I think I'm in a special spot where I'm knowledgeable and I'm educated enough about judicial reform that I'm going to fight my case. And I understand that I'm just going through a continuance at this moment. But what I really think would help people, and I've said this for a decade or two, the best thing we can do is talk about it. We got to talk about it. Everybody thinks because they got rules and regulations in their state that they're safe, and they're not. Just for example, just 2 weeks ago, a 74-year-old veteran who's on oxygen was arrested in the state of Missouri for 3.5 ounces. They got him on a $25,000 bond, and they put him on a drug patch, folks. A drug patch. He has to wear on his arm, and if he tests, because he's already at a baseline because he used cannabis, if he tests higher than that baseline, he is going to be found in violation of his bond and go to jail.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
for an attorney, because I always argue about attorneys and how they're prohibitionists because they profit off of prohibition. He paid, it was a $9,000 bill. He paid $4,000 to an attorney that knew at the time when he hired him, the attorney knew that his license was going to be suspended. Took his money, got his license suspended. Now he's giving him to somebody else to take over the case. And the guy's about to settle out for the same deal that they just offered us. I want to tell you, a public defender is almost the same as a pot attorney in Missouri. Better. You might as well just have a public defender, because the pot attorneys in this state have never, ever went to a jury trial. They're going to bench trials. 99.999% of the time, you're going to get a guilty verdict for a bench trial. That's you and the judge. The judge is going to go by the law. The judge isn't going to vote with their own consciousness.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not going to exercise jury nullification.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and
why would the attorneys do this? They've set no case precedent. They've done no medical necessity defenses. They have not ever fought a case in this state, and they're mad at me because I want to take it to a jury trial. You got medical marijuana attorneys in this state doing YouTube videos about how I am. The problem is I won't shut up and I won't follow the rules and I won't follow their direction.
Right, and you shouldn't. Never. And that's the thing. I encourage everybody also that's listening, don't be silent. Don't stand by and watch travesty happen. The laws are wrong. That's all there is to it. The bottom line is laws are wrong. It's not the state that you're in. It's not that you're in the wrong state. It's just the laws in your state are wrong. And you have an obligation as a person and as a citizen to stand up against tyranny and wrong laws. And Nadelle, you are absolute proof of standing up and fighting for what is right and what it's absolutely what everybody should believe in, and everybody should stand and fight with you as long as you're fighting this and going through this until they, the end of this. And eventually they're just going to continue to give up, because listen, for Peggy and I to go for 3 years on our case, it cost the taxpayer almost $500,000. For a 3-year cut. And what they got out of that, out of both of us, a total of $1,414 is what we had to pay, and that was court costs between the two of us. So the county, the taxpayers of our county, and paid almost $500,000 to bring it down to giving us just court costs and 5 years probation.
Can I tell you why they do this? And this is what people need to understand. You just add, and I'm not bashing you, I'm not doing any of that by any means. You just added to the statistics of a guilty verdict, which leads me to the fact that in the United States of America, we have a 99% guilty, a.k.a. plea out deal. There's only 1% of the people who actually fight their case because, as you said, it wears you down. It's exhausting. It's tiresome. You're always on the break. You could be on a drug patch. You know what I mean? You could still be on bond conditions. And so people at that point, they're paying for an attorney or whatever it could be. Their life is going, they take a plea deal.
Yeah.
So you don't want to know what really could, you want to put a chink in the system? Make one month, one day where everybody who went to court, no matter what your crime was, said not guilty. They could not keep up with all of our constitutional rights on the timing that they would have to do it, a.k.a. speedy trials, preliminary hearings, et cetera. It would crash the system.
Right, yeah, and that's what they do. They wear you down to where you have, and that's where it was. I mean, they, going through three, and trust, the prosecutor went to grand jury with over 100 charges against both of us that they finally whittled down to 15 and 16 between the two of us, which they hammered us for 3 years with, 56 years in prison for 2 grams of cannabis. And it all come down to the fact that I was allowed to give it to him because I was his caregiver. I was a caregiver to the person I gave the cannabis to. So they continue to fight the fact that, we used the program before. And here's something that a lot of people may not know, and they may know, that going through our case, Peggy and I were bonded in our bond paperwork. We were bonded. One of our stipulations was that we couldn't be in an establishment that served alcohol, but we were to consume cannabis by our doctor's orders. So here we were being charged with the possession and use of cannabis, but we were bonded telling us to possess and use cannabis. How ridiculous, and that is the point of how ridiculous these laws are that they charge people with. Adele, I thank you very much for joining us and you know, sharing your story. I'm glad that, you know, you and Aaron are where you're at and you guys are doing what you're doing. You know, great. Peggy and I love you guys to death. I mean, we'll continue to fight and push for you. It hangs here. So, I mean, it doesn't never come down. So as long as you are going through your case, this is going to hang here, and I'm pushed for that. So, reach out to us anything you need, and always a pleasure having you on.
I appreciate it, and I just want to let everybody know we do have a website. It's adellawisdom.com. We have a petition. Go on there and sign it. I want to give a big shout-out to Carrie Cannon because she's the one person I know that's advocating for people that are fighting their cases that aren't. She's also fighting for people incarcerated, but she's fighting to tell people get out of their case and spreading awareness and talking about it. And that's truly the way to end cannabis prohibition. And I just really want to remind everybody that you have constitutional rights. Please, please exercise them. Always remain silent. Never consent to them searching your car. There is a possibility that something was on the bottom of somebody's shoe, something dropped out of somebody's pocket, something was thrown into your window. Never consent to a search because the second you do, cannot contest what the officers find. You are not a criminal. Always remain silent and just remember that we have your back. Reach out to the community and just thank you all for having me on. And no one belongs in jail for a plant.
Right on, Adele, man. We love you guys, man. You guys take it easy and have a good night.
Thank you.
Hey, and good luck next. I know you're going to have a continuance,
Monday,
fingers crossed, and, you know, we'll be there with you guys and praying. So, do that. Thank you guys have a good weekend and look forward to Monday.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. That was Adele Wisdom. You guys definitely go over and check out her website, her webpage, and you know, definitely Carrie Cannon is, you know, despite where she's at and what she's going through herself and what's going on with her, she fights for every single man. She is all over the place, man, fighting for everybody, doing everything she possibly can to make more money, to add back to what she's doing to help more people. That's the kind of person Carrie is. That, you know, so listen, if you guys are around or, you know, stop by her page and tell her thank you, some kind of appreciation. Now we're going to catch up with Tricia, who is up in Michigan, and we'll talk with her and find out what is going on in her world. Tricia, good evening, and thank you for joining Cannaviews. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you. Now, I understand that you have a couple of companies that you manage and take care of, and you're the CEO of. So just clue us in a little bit and tell us about, you know, what you do and how you do it. Because I would really like to know more about your Sprinkle with Love, Sprinkle with Some Love, you know.
Definitely. So I work for Cannabis for the Cause it's like a VP, vice president, and I run that organization. It's a nonprofit organization with my sister, Krista Mullen. She's the CEO over there. And when she was sick with cancer, we kind of started that organization to help her through it and just to, like, you know, have something to do. And over time, it's grown into a fabulous piece of work that we've invested a lot of love to over the years. Like, this past Christmas, we adopted people, and we've done a lot of different things, from benefits for cancer patients to auctions to, I mean, you name it, we've done several different things, like, just in the last, this past year we haven't, but the previous years we've done quite a bit. This past year we've kind of both been working on our own thing, and that brings me into Sprinkle Some Love with a Cause by Tricia Mullen. So I started that organization because I kind of realized through helping my sister that I wanted to kind of find my own passion as well, which I realize is in the medical field because I suffer from so many different diseases. I often find other people through social media or doctor offices or, you know, just people you come in contact with that have similar diseases or have questions or, you know, just you compare notes. Have you done this surgery? Have you done this? What doctor are you using? Or, you know, how would these meds work for you? And I kind of realized most of my time was spent associated with people on the phone talking about this stuff. So I kind of become like this advocate for these diseases. find out what these diseases are, because when we were growing up, a large group of us had these diseases, but there wasn't a title or a name for the diseases. So over the years, the government came up with names like gastroparesis, interstititis. Those two didn't have names like 15 years ago. So the science has evolved, and we've kind of just been their guinea pig, to sum it up in a way, as patients. So we've kind of all come together in different support groups and discussed these things. So I just started a podcast where I interview people who are sick or have similar diseases as myself, and we just talk about what their journey is, what their fight is, how they get through it, what did they do, what were their experiences from doctors, whether it was good or bad, or what are they hoping to see in the medical field. And then my goal is to continue, because it's a nonprofit organization, it's a 501c as well, similar to this. So what I'm hoping to do with that is to eventually open the doors to opportunities to have like grants and no webinars. Sorry, my daughter's getting pizza delivered, so the pizza guy knocked, and my little chihuahua's probably going to go crazy. So, sorry. So, anyways, so over the years, I want to expand that and be able to help people with medical bills, help them with, like, their hospital stays, perhaps, or bills while they're at the hospital, stuff like that. Just being able to open the doors and expand services as we continue to grow. But it's really about medical conditions and sharing your journey and your fight and bringing awareness to each person's fight, because everyone's fight, even though we have some of the same diseases, is so different. Like, you really never hear two of the same stories, but there's always the same regimen for both girls.
Right. And then,
you know?
Right. And the thing is people's diseases are different. What affects you, and we can have exactly the same disease, but how it affects you and what medicines you take may not be the same for me, and the effects and stuff, you know. So it is a very important thing to reach out to everybody like that, and I think that's an amazing thing, you know, reaching out to different people.
So over time, that journey also led me, before opening Scribble for some love of the cause, I found cannabis. Well, like 10 years ago, I want to say. Like, I was 21 or 22 years old when I found cannabis for medical purposes, and I'm 34 now, so it's been actually like probably like 14 years, maybe, give or take. And I had a whole duffel bag, which I still currently have to this day, of medication that I would take daily from these doctors that they said, oh, you need this to live, or you're going to die without this, or if you don't take this will happen. And eventually I just said, you know what, it's all making me sick. How do you guys all know you can make this stuff together? Like, I don't really think we're supposed to be mixing all of these. Like, one person shouldn't be on this many, like, drugs, not just narcotic-wise, but, like, just regular medications, like fibromyalgia medication, anesthetics, irritable bowel syndrome, kidney disease, endometriosis, adenomyosis. Like, I have to go on and on. Like, the list of diseases that I have, so it's like every time I came in with a new problem or a new disease, I come out with four new meds. Like, just add these. Just go. And I'm like, dude, eventually I just found pot, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm done. And I quit all of the meds, and I just fully went full pot. And I haven't looked back. And I've had a few problems here and there that I've had to tend to, but literally I've got healthier. My memory got healthier. My body got healthier. I was having, like, 3 to 6 surgeries a year. Literally, I started having less surgeries. I just started totally feeling better. I was 75 pounds from not being able to eat, from having like a paralyzed digestive system, that when I got on cannabis, I was able to actually finally have some munchies, and the munchies cured me in so many ways. Like, that was something I like so needed for that disease. Like, the munchies is like a heaven sent. Like, oh my God, no way. So for a paralyzed stomach who doesn't want to eat and it physically hurts, the munchie takes away the pain. It actually makes you have a drive to want to eat. So I found myself in love with marijuana. So then later I opened a bunch of pot groups on Facebook. I have several different ones. No need to name all those. But now I'm finding that I wanted to do a podcast about pot. So I opened a 420 Smoke Room podcast, which I also run through Live on Relevant. I don't know if you're familiar with Relevant, but then I record it and I post it in all the same places that Personal Love is, like iHeartRadio, Spotify, iCloud, iTunes, Alexis, Podcast, Podchasers, you name it, they're both on there. I haven't really missed either YouTube. So the 420 Smoke Room is new. And on there, what our plan is, on Saturday Night Live, we do like a live session with Lori and Steve from Texas. They're from The Gift of Life and Canicare. I don't know if you've heard of them. I believe you do. You know them. I believe they talk about you and your organization.
So
I work with them on Saturday, and we just kind of have an open mic night where we talk with the audience. We talk about weed. We talk about what's the laws in Texas and how it's legal fully here in Michigan, and what can Texas do to become more legal. And then during the week, we'll be interviewing other activists, trying to figure out what their organizations are doing in the Black community and what could we do to get more involved. And I want to expand my services, basically, or myself, into the weed community and try to figure out what more could we be doing, because I feel like there's more. I'm just not sure where exactly that's needed yet.
Right.
So I definitely like that. So, I don't know, there's just going to be a lot of fun shit over there, some smoke sessions, hanging out. Bunch of different crap, different days of the week. Giveaways. Right now we got a $100 giveaway until we get the first 100 members are automatically entered, and then we'll do a giveaway for 100 bucks, gift card, cash, the winner can choose. It can even be Cash App, PayPal, however they want that money, they will get it. And so, I don't know, so far we're just starting the 420 Smoke Room over there, but I've had an actual weed group called that on Facebook, so I just kind of transferred that over, and that kind of, out of all the weed groups, that's kind of been my home out of all the ones I've done. And recently, with the new state laws and the new Facebook changes, I've been losing groups left and right. I've been in Facebook jail. I have another 5 days on this last day because apparently saying 420 is illegal on Facebook when you put it in comments or you type it. Just the words, the number 420, which is a mathematical number, you can't say, like, all these new words. Literally the last week, like 7 days, the minute I get out of jail, I'm back in Facebook jail. And they're going over all these old posts. So, like, I think I'm going to lose my Facebook because there's a million. I can't find every post to delete it. I didn't know the laws were going to change. Kind of like the whole where I feel with being in jail for pot. So now I'm in Facebook jail for old pots. And I live in a fully legal state. I don't know for those of you who are aware, I live in Michigan. And we are recreational legal. We are dispensary legal. We are all the way around legal. Like, you name it,
What is the cost for you if you wanted to grow in your backyard? What would it cost for you to apply for the – what would it cost for you? Is there a license that you have to apply for? Is there anything that you have to do?
We recreational legal. Each person's allowed to grow 12 plants without a license. If they want to grow more than 12 plants, then they would need the caregiver license, which you're discussing. And you're allowed to have up to 6 care patients. And each patient is allowed 12 plants of theirs for the patient. So you'd be doing 6 times 12 for 6 patients. And that would be what you would be allowed to have, indoor, outdoor, I don't care where you do it, but it's at that one facility and one property. Not divided over the city, you know what I mean, wherever you choose. That has to be at one location. And then in order to go to the store and, like, just buy it, you don't need nothing but your Michigan State ID, and you have to be 21. And you can go to any recreational dispensary that you want and walk in, buy whatever you want, from Kool-Aid to edibles to cereal to marijuana to pens to wax to whatever you want to choose, however your form of marijuana is that you want, you can get it. And the prices vary from like 25 1/8 to like 1 1/8, depending on the THC level. So the higher content you go up, like, I like about 28% THC content in my blood. That's perfect for me. And I realized 28%, I'm, like, able to still get up. I'm able to clean the house. I'm still able to eat. I'm able to manage my life without being couch locked. So it actually gives me the energy to do what I need to do. And then if you want to go to a regular dispensary, you got to have the actual patient license. And that can be $25 if you're on Social Security disability. Or I think it's like 75 now, right. Or 100. It was a little bit, but they changed it if you're not on Social Security.
And John, yes, as a matter of, if you are from California and you happen to visit Michigan, you are more than welcome to go into any dispensary as long as you have your ID with you and it says that you're 21 years or older.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to consume as much cannabis as you want from any store that you want. So, yes, John, your California state ID will get you into any Michigan dispensary to get what you want.
Yes, but it'll only get you your legal limit for what, like, because you have to take it back home, you're not allowed to buy X amount. You're only allowed to buy a certain amount. So, like, we were getting, when we first opened, everybody from Ohio was coming over here and filling up shop, like, and they were taking down shop because now the supply is gone, so what's left for the locals when Ohio comes through and buys out? So Ohio, like, there's an actual limit to prevent that from happening.
Right.
So if your ID is not a Michigan state ID, then your consumptional amount for take-home is different. Now, I'm not sure what that is because I live in Michigan, but I do know that there is captions on that now. And once they put the captions on that, you really don't see a lot of Ohio now out here as much for the dispensaries because they're not able to get as much as what they were hoping. And now it's easier, I think, to go to their next local state, that I think Indiana or one of those other ones last year became legal. But now they're no longer crossing the border that much for marijuana as much due to the caption of the limit.
All right. And I think that, you know, for Ohio – And here's the catch on that. And everybody knows it. It doesn't matter what your state law says. It is still federally illegal. And everybody that travels to another state to buy and goes home is taking a chance of that. And they will. And it doesn't matter what card you are holding. If you are an Ohio resident and you go to Michigan and you get stopped coming back into Ohio and you have Michigan cannabis with you, you are going to be guaranteed to go to jail and have your medical card taken and a lot of other things. But
so
now, vice versa.
Every border you cross, you'll also be charged with the same crime. So if you cross 5 borders, you repeat that same charge with 5 of the same charges of whatever it chooses to charge you with.
And you know, listen, me personally, I think that, you know, that is absolutely ridiculous because, listen, you know, I see cannabis, for me, myself, cannabis is medicine. And it's no different than the pills that that you go to the CVS and pick up. A pharmaceutical prescription is a pharmaceutical prescription, and it should not matter because, listen, and the crappy thing is my disease doesn't stop because I go to Michigan. I still have Crohn's. I still have chronic pain. I still have very much the same medical condition here in Ohio as if I went to Indiana, to Michigan, to Pennsylvania, to West Virginia or Kentucky. It doesn't matter where I go. And my prescription of cannabis should follow me, just like my prescription of OxyContin, just like my prescription for my inhaler. It should follow me wherever I go, and it should not matter. I'm a strong believer that federal, that crossing the state line is, you know, and I think that's bullshit, but it happens. And I just want people to understand and to be aware of, please be careful if you travel between states with medicine, with cannabis, please be safe and be careful and know the consequences of crossing that line.
Yes, know the consequences of your actions before you commit them, for sure, because you're the only one that's going to deal with those consequences when those actions have been called out.
But trust and believe, you go over to Human Solution International and you fill out that defendant form, and I'll be right there fighting beside you. So,
yes, tell me more about exactly what you guys do for that, because I've been looking a lot into your organization, and I'm really loving everything I hear. So kind of tell me a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Right. Yeah. Well, what we do is we just stand up to end the abuse and the, you know, the violation of human rights. And it doesn't matter what human right it is. Cannabis is the biggest one we stand for. But if one of your rights, your human rights, are violated, we will definitely stand with you in court. We'll sign petitions. We'll show up to court with you. We'll get people to show up to court. You know, and that's what it's about, because public awareness, if the courts see the amount of support that a person has, you know, and listen, let me tell you, and this is God's honest truth, because I know I sat at that damn table myself. Sitting there as a defendant is scary. It's lonely, because at the end of the day, you are the one that suffered. It doesn't matter how many people are sitting behind you. And it's awesome in a matter of human kindness that there's the amount of people that stand behind people for this. That is great. And that's what we do. We take a force of people and we go in, we flood courts, we flood them with letters, we let the courts know. And listen, let me tell you, you can go and check out our case, you can go to any, and look up any case you want to on any person. Terry Cannon got a collage of pictures. Terry Cannon got a collage of letters entered into our case. So at sentencing time, when it came right down to it, the judge was then allowed to see this. And that, along with what is on our PSI pre-sentence investigation, together with those, is what the judge makes his, you know, decision on. And it, the judge sitting at that bench is the one that has the final say. And it doesn't matter what the prosecutor has pushed for. It doesn't matter what the prosecutor wants. The judge ultimately has the end. And that's what we do. We make sure the judge knows that that person sitting at that table is not alone, and that we, the people, see his actions, and we are weighing him as much as he is weighing that person sitting at that table. And that's what, and you know, listen, that is what is the purpose behind public support, because the judge and the those are voted. We vote them people in. And we, the people, are standing behind that person at that bench, and that's what the judge sees. And that's what and if there's a mass of people standing here watching a case that is unjust, against the human rights, what's a judge to do except the right thing? And that's, at the end of the day, is what's got to happen. And that is what happened for Peggy and I, because we did have this mass support behind us. We had thousands of letters from all over the country. It wasn't just the people here. There was pictures, the collage, and it was from everybody supporting us that the judge seen. And then it was also the people that were there in court with us every single time. And we were looking at a lot of time. And when it came down to it, I'm looking at 9 years in prison and Peggy was looking at 8. And instead of giving us any jail time, because my mandatory fine was $48,000 and Peggy's was $36,000 is what our mandatory fines were when it come at the end of the day. We were looking at 5-year suspension of our license each and everything. We court cost and 5 years of probation.
That's a very long time, and then you got all the just court costs and probation. But still, yeah. Probation still for something you guys didn't even do. But it was way better than prison funding, for sure.
Absolutely. And listen, you know, the prosecutor can do and say, and that's what, you know, Adele was talking about. The prosecutor can do and say whatever he wants. And that's what the people sitting there at those bench, and that's what we have to make them stick to the law, to right, not what they feel. Because it doesn't matter whether you like me or not. The law is the law, and what is right is right. And again, the prosecutor can do absolutely anything he wants for as long as he wants, because he gets to go home and go to bed. And there's no consequence other than that for him. He has he's clear because he was voted in and he's just doing what he thinks is right. Sometimes it's not what the law is.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. The state right now has so many different laws that they don't make sense, and one state contradicts another state, and for all the United States, why aren't we actually one?
Right. Like, and, you know, another, we stand for CPS. We stand against CPS.
I've heard about that. You guys help people who had their children taken for marijuana charges.
Yeah. Well, it's not just for for CPS to come into your home, somebody had, and they can lie on you.
I thought they work. Believe me.
CPS is absolutely nothing but a legal child trafficking. That's what CPS is, and I strongly believe that, and nothing is going to change my mind on that. And I think that they're the absolute evilest people, and anybody that goes to work for CPS with a clear conscience is an ass. I mean, that's just, you are an evil person if you purposely go to work for CPS. Bottom line, you are an evil piece of shit. I'm sorry. You know, but that's the way it is. You are not a very good person if you go into somebody's home and take their children from them for whatever, unless that child is being severely, because a parent smokes cannabis is not a reason to take somebody's child from them. Because somebody bent their kid over and whacked their ass a couple times is no reason to take their children from them. Because the parents took their stuff away from them and made them be responsible is not a reason to take, you know, people's children. You know, within, there is a line. There is a line, and I think somebody other than CPS should call to take action in this. I don't think CPS and the people, the organization of what it is not what it's built for anymore.
I think their order of operation is so mathematically stupid that it doesn't help the kids that actually need help. It actually, it's the opposite. It hinders, and they take children that don't need to be taken. And the ones that actually need help, that actually have, like, the most crappiest life and no one taking care of them, somehow or another, their parents get away every time and are able to keep their kid. Their kid probably should have actually been taken. But then the kids that weren't, shouldn't have been, like, the parent gets one call, and next thing you know, the kids are gone.
Right.
You know, like, what the heck did she do so bad? Like, I just watched her yesterday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just living here in Michigan, where we are subjected to, like, Detroit and Pontiac and Flint, those three cities alone have CPS. They just take kids faster than they investigate.
Yeah.
And then if you live in the suburbs, you can do the same crime and get away with it and actually get a slap on the wrist and not have to get any trouble. Your kid does nothing. But, like, I feel like it's more about where you live and what your income is here in Michigan, mm-hmm. and to determine are you capable of fighting back physically, financially, you know. And the ones that can't fight back, I think that's, like, where you, they just rip them. And like you said, they, boom. And they don't even search for the father anymore. Because they're a pro-mom state. So they automatically put the kids into foster care without ever trying to contact their fathers at all.
Right.
Like, not at all. And I personally have friends who, their dad, like, they were put into foster care. They went looking for their family all these years to only find out that her father still lived in the same house from day one. And now still worked at GM, gets a Social Security pension check, still has her on Blue Cross Blue Shield. For 18 years, she was adopted and fostered out, and he died looking for her. And right after he died looking for her, she found out where he was and found out that she was too late. And literally the whole time, he never was anywhere. So when the mom got the kid taken, she should have went to her father. But instead, she went to foster care, and not a phone call was given, not a message, not nothing.
Right. I think, you know, from what you do, Trish, with you know, helping people reach patient with patients, you know, I think that is amazing. And we would welcome somebody like you to join the Creative Care Beacon, the Human Solution with us, and be a part of it. And absolutely. So, yeah, just reach out to me afterwards, and we'll talk about that, and I can send you whatever information you want. And to let people know, I believe tomorrow, is it, I'm going to be on your show tomorrow?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to be joining you tomorrow on your podcast, so that's something people can look forward to. What's that?
You'll be on the 420 Smoke Room. Yeah, I'll send you some links, and maybe you can share them wherever you share.
Right on, absolutely. Trisha, thank you very much for joining us and telling us about what you do and helping with your sister. And I think, you know, reaching patients again and helping them understand their disease and with what, you know, cannabis transition medicine, I think it's a great thing, and I greatly appreciate you joining us and talking with us and telling us about that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Right on. Hey, and you have a good night and a good weekend, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, you too.
All right. Yeah, it was Trish Mullins, you guys. Definitely go over and check out what she does. with the organizations and everything. I think that, you know, you guys would be pleased with helping out and joining in. I think that we have a few callers online, so we'll jump with the first one here. And good evening. You are live with Cannabuse.
Hello there, Glenn. This is Dana. Yeah, I agree.
Hey,
on the
Dana.
Yeah, here's a thought I had. I got questioned about this on Facebook today. When it comes to people that go to church, just listen to me. In the Bible, it does not say anywhere that plants are a sin, for one. And most people think Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. And what he did was he was a physician with herbal medicine. And he's the one that created the oils that Jesus used when he healed with. And it's all there in the Bible. You know, some Bibles are more confusing than others. But let's just say this is outright truth. God blessed the plant on the third day, much anymore. And they need to, because, I mean, they will arrest a 71-year-old or 74-year-old man for cannabis for just 3.5 ounces up there by Kansas City, where they legalized it in that city a long time ago, and then give him a $25,000 bond in this state, which that is outright illegal, because people couldn't pay or even contest a case because the bonds were so high and on a nonviolent case. And but you got tens of hundreds of tons of fentanyl and meth coming across that border, and it's people are dying like crazy, record numbers every day from overdosing from fentanyl and all those drugs that are coming across the border. But yet all they want to take and talk about is pot and nothing about the hard drugs.
Right. Real quick. I need my my computer. I need my cord, my cable, real quick. I'm getting ready to lose everything here in a second. Yep, that one. Yep. I'm sorry, you guys. Just a little technical issue. Just really quick, and just plug this in, and I should be all right then. Okay. So, yeah, anyway, Dana, you still with me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Good deal. I think that the biggest thing with I think that the church misleads it's a problem with the fact that God created all things, and I think people forget that, and cannabis is just one of the things that bears fruit that God put here on earth for fiber and for us to use.
Yeah, that's true. And in the Bible, the word pharma means sorcery, which is basically, if you want to get down to witch's brew, that's what it is. And that's made from chemicals. And that's man trying to imitate what God already did.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that people, if even Christians themselves, I think that, you know, should go back and check out and read the Bible. And, you know, if they're going to preach one way, they need to understand what they're preaching about and how they're preaching about it.
Well, what happened is, like, a lot of, like, what this lady was jumping at me about today was, she says, well, Luke was a doctor. Well, Luke wasn't a doctor. He was a physician, a teacher, an evangelist. And he made oils from plants. And they don't understand that, you know, doctor and pharma in the Bible, God is translated to sorcery, which is stuff that can, even if it doesn't kill you today, it's going to look short in your life no matter what, as far as taking pharmaceuticals, period. And then they took and used a representation. They used a representation saying that, when they're talking about sorcery, they're talking about the fentanyl and the meth and the heroin. And I said, don't you know that all was invented by the pharmaceutical companies, and they have the same exact medicines that they have? Them are just street versions of what they have already.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And, you know, Rockefeller is the one that started pharmaceutical, you know, pharmacy. So you look at who it was that started it and the reason why they started it. If you actually look at what pharmaceuticals are and why they were started, I think people would be amazed at, you know, what they'll find out. So I think people need to do a little more research before they start swinging and talking, you know, honestly. Really quick, though, if you guys want to call in or if you hear something that is misspoken or if you don't like what was said, you're more than welcome to call in and talk with me. And the phone number is 516-418-5539. Dana, a little bit about what you do with the Hope for Change and the End of Prohibition, the Missouri Chapter of Court Support. Who are you guys? What all about that?
Well, if a person needs to have help and they've been arrested for cannabis in the state of Missouri, not other drugs with it, but just cannabis alone, they get in contact with us. So they find us on Facebook all the time by looking under Dana Bland or Dana W. Bland. They'll find me. And we're Hope for Change and the End of Prohibition, Human Solution International Chapter Court Support, and we try to go out and also organize other chapters or other groups to do court support, because court support is so, so important when people show up.
It is, and it's all about, you know, the public awareness and the support that people get. And that's what the judge and the prosecutor and your attorneys, and that was what helps, you know, gives your attorneys fuel to fight, you know, is the support that you do gain. And we do appreciate what you do there, Dana. And you and Sue are, you know, hard, good work in supporting people, and we greatly appreciate you guys and what you guys do.
Yeah, yeah, the only way we can help you, just like what Glenn says on his show, is we can't help you if we don't know that you're in trouble and that you need help. But court support,
absolutely.
The judges and them do see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Dana, thank you again, man, for joining us. It's always a pleasure. And you do bring knowledge when you come, so I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Well, thank you for being there.
Right on. Hey, you guys have a good night. That's Dana Bland, you guys. Go over and check out his page and, you know, check him out. Dana Bland. You'll be able to find him, Dana W. Bland, all over. He's associated with a lot of groups, with a lot of people doing a lot of things. I think we're going to catch up now with John, who is live with us from California. Hey, John.
Hey, Glenn. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, absolutely. We sure can, my friend.
Hey, I was going to talk about the Child Protective Services and all that, but, you know, I was listening to Dana talk, and he's in where, Missouri?
Yeah, Missouri.
Yeah, yeah, so we got a lot of cowboys and kind of Christians and things up there. I live in Northern California, same thing. So, you know, I understand about helping people get out of troubles. I've helped a patient in Red Bluff, California get three patients off for 18 pounds of marijuana they grew, and I believe it was like 2000, maybe 10. Another friend of mine, a patient, he got caught with 37 pounds. Kids, they did 10 days in jail and got the heck out of this area. But as far as, like, I like to teach the public forum at all the supervisors in City Hall where I talk, and then the citizens hear it, and then they see on the street. And there's a great book that you can educate yourself, Dana, with. It's about that opiate deal, right? This was all marketed from Purdue Pharmaceuticals, The Sacklers, and the book is called Unsettled. The author is a guy named Ryan Hampton, and he was part of the lawsuit in the center of all these lawyers. It's a great book because it's changed my life. It looked, made me go back and, you know, when I was on OxyContin for 12 years, and I spoke out at my supervisors about it and my city hall about it, because in 1952, these guys were planning the marketing of poisonous all with basically legal heroin. And the Christians hear that, it's the same thing. But what they're judging us for, because they don't even understand that even Jesus, King Solomon, Moses, they all had the plant. And the Levi priests, they're the ones that were the ones all around the different towns, but the people grew the weed for who? The Levites. And Moses was a Levite. Abraham was. Jacob had a son named Levi, and his grandfather was Abraham, great-grandfather. His grandfather was Isaac, and then his dad was Jacob. And then we got Moses was Levite's grandson, and Aaron. And so what we're at today is that these guys that go to church, they're not going to believe this plant called the Tree of Life is really God's plant. And so all you got to tell them is, hey, you got God's plant, and now they're the ones that are going to fall. And so I don't go to church because I live in nature. But I want to talk about CPS. My grandson, I haven't seen in 3 years, 2 days ago, and this is what I do. I talk to my local government so much that they support me. And so my grandson, he got, I was basically told, and I recorded my ex-wife, it's called the necessity defense. Better to save a kid than and record somebody without their permission. And so she's been abusing my grandson for three years, and it's so bad I can't even talk about what it is, but I made copies of it, and I called my district attorney up. He knows me as a medical marijuana advocate patient, and he's going to take these people down. And the CPS, they're going to hopefully save my grandson. Years ago, they told me they didn't care if I grew my weed and took care of my grandsons, but now I got to take care of my grandsons, and I'm not going to stop using my weed because I'd still be on OxyContin a day. And that pill would have never went away if I didn't tell Senator Feinstein to take that shit away. The year was 2011. Look how many years ago that was, and we still want to fight for cannabis. I feel sorry all for right. all these other states, you know? So
right.
some of
and
this,
it sucks for them.
Yeah, but listen, if you guys go to your supervisors, and if I could travel, I could talk to supervisors and City Hall and the cities, and educate them on the fact that I replaced OxyContin. And if we all replace OxyContin, what the hell are they trying to kill us for? Get that book Unsettled and it's programmed. They try to kill us. It's crazy shit. Billions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. If you guys get a chance, so you can probably go over to Amazon and order the book. I think it's like $14.99 or $17.99. Definitely go over and order the book and read. Get you some, you know, this is part of, you know, public, you know, informing yourself. Knowledge.
Hey Glenn, you know,
power.
The other thing, you talk about these Christians and they all believe in the Bible, which is history, right? So the other book to get is from a Harvard professor. It's called Marijuana, the Forbidden Medicine, and the author is Dr. Grinspoon. Now, he's passed away, but his knowledge is still there. And so what did replace pharmaceutical heroin in America? Our grandparents were here. Pharmaceutical cannabis, but we're never going to see, if you read Unsettled, pharmaceutical cannabis will never come to the pharmacy again. Never. And the reason why, my doctor says this, the genie is out of the bottle. And we've had this freedom since 1996 in California that you guys, some of that state sounded good. You know, you could grow 12 plants per person and have 6 patients. But I don't know, like that cold weather. You know? So,
right. Yeah, that's Michigan. Michigan, you know, you can grow, you know, and it's pretty lucrative there. It's a nice deal that, you know, being able to grow.
Does it snow? Does it snow?
It does. It does snow, John.
Does it snow where you're at?
Yes, it does. Yeah, yeah, it does. And sometimes it gets quite deep sometimes.
We're lucky it gets 39 degrees.
I know. You know, it's wonderful to live there in California. We'll, you know, Peggy and I will make it out there to see you one of these times.
We live in the valley.
I don't want to bring you out here to the cold.
If you look at, I'll come back in the spring, but if you or summer, but if you look at a place called Shasta Lake in Mount Shasta and Mount Lassen, we can go 45 minutes to these beautiful treasures. We got two volcanoes. A lot of people in California don't even know we got two volcanoes. So they're burning this out, though,
yeah.
Glenn. You're seeing the fires every year? It's because nobody stopped planting. Everyone's going to keep planting. They can't stop us from planting.
Right, right. So, you know, and you guys are in a pretty liberal state where you can, you know, grow for yourselves as well and take care of yourselves, too. And, you know, that's the importance of any program or anything that, you know, as long as a person is able to grow for themselves and take care of themselves, how would they see fit? Not by somebody's means, not because they limit you to a certain, but as long as you can heal yourself and grow for yourself, that those are key opponents, you know?
Hey, Glenn, you know how CBD was legal across federal lines and everywhere, right?
Yeah,
not in California.
Yeah.
The governor passed a bill called AB 45, and they took away the CBD. You have to have a license in California to have CBD to sell it and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did it October 7th because, see, a lot of these country folks, they're Republicans, they tried to recall him, and he won. And so he took away their hemp. He took away their hemp.
Right, yeah, they tried to recall him, so he takes something away from them to make him pay, you know. But
Gavin Newsom, you know who he really is?
Who's that?
He is a marijuana burner, man. We got a governor that truly burns the weed, just like who? Vice President Harris. She got high. She was Montel Williams' girlfriend, born and raised in Berkeley. So these politicians get high. They just lie about it.
Yeah, yeah, and then want to keep us under, you know, a federal thumb where, you know, we could face life in prison for having plant, which is absolutely ridiculous. John,
you know,
thank you very much, my friend.
That's the saddest part, Glenn. And if I can help anybody, you know, I can go anywhere. I'm a good talker. I got paperwork, but I just, you know, I'm on Social Security. But like I said, I get any funds, I'll help anybody. Like Dana said, if it's just marijuana charges, it's bullshit. We're in California. Even if you get arrested, it's a misdemeanor now. It's not, no felony. So that's crazy, isn't it?
It is. And hopefully one day the entire country is going to be that way. We, the rest of us strive to be like California and Michigan.
We got to put the right president in there. Bernie would have done it. We would have had it. Come on, guys.
John, it's always a pleasure when you call in, my friend. I wish you and yours a very good weekend.
I got to be in Frisco tomorrow for a doctor's appointment, but I always I always try to make your show, so I like listening to you. You do a great job, man.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much, sir. You guys have a great night and a good weekend, and safe travels tomorrow.
Okay, you too.
You know, John is, you know, tried and true patient, you know, that is calls and you know, he tells it like it is, and he only advocates for the best of it, and we definitely do. You're right, Dana. We do need to end prohibition. Prohibition doesn't hurt anybody except patients and good people when it turns us into criminals because we want to heal ourselves. I want to thank Tricia Mullins for joining us tonight and telling her story, and Adela Wisdom for coming on. You guys definitely go over and check out them. Check out Adela's page, AdelaWisdom.com, and see what she's doing over there. And definitely check out Trisha's page. She's got a couple of them that you guys can check out. So definitely go over and see what you guys can do about supporting their pages and stuff. She's the director of Sprinkle Some Love, which helps patients, you know, dealing with more patients. So definitely go and look at that. And she is a vice president operations of chief manager at Canvas with the Cause is another thing that she does. So a couple of great things to check out with both of them. Thank my guests tonight very much for joining us and coming on and telling their stories. I always appreciate you guys joining us every week. Until next week, thank you very much for coming.